God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You've heard the talk of the debates. We've got a whole bunch of sounds to go through, but let me pause. And let me just present the idea of eternity. Now, the idea of eternity is a big, big idea. Those of us who've given ourselves to the Lord Jesus, agree to be changed by him, we treat him as our Messiah, our Lord, the boss of our lives, we will spend eternity with him. Eternity has no years. There would be no point in counting years in eternity. God didn't need time. He operates outside of time. He set time up for our convenience. He set up the sun and the moon to help us make sense of things. He doesn't need any of it. In the new heaven and the new earth, the Lord Jesus himself will be the sun, our Lord, and also the sun, S-U-N, the source of light, the source of heat. So years disappear. How do you keep track of years? Why would you? There's no need for time. What we're going through as a country, this, what, two-hour debate, such as it was, it's not a blip. It's a billionth of a blip. The significance of this in the eternal is as significant as the following. The meal you had prior to your first day of kindergarten, what was it? What was it? When was it? What day? What, you don't remember? That was a very important day. You were probably racked with nerves. First day of school. Look at you, big boy, big girl, going to school. Your new school clothes. The feelings of nervousness. I guess in kindergarten, we don't take books. Maybe we got to take a toy for show and tell. What was it? How long did it take to get there? What did it smell like? Maybe you have a blurry memory of this if you went to a small school. Maybe your kids go to the school you went to. Most of us don't know. I know I went to a school where my mom taught. I don't remember where it was. I mean, generally. I certainly don't remember what I ate. See, this debate feels so important. And for this blip within a blip within a blip, it is. In an eternal sense, can you imagine 1 billion years after you've been in the new heaven and the new earth with the Lord Jesus, the equivalent of years, because years, there's no point in having years in eternity. After all those, no day, no night, there's the Lord Jesus. He is the light. Someone may come to you and go, "You remember that Kamala Harris, Donald Trump debate?" You may go, "What? No." I think that there's that story. It's not in the Bible, but it's a good comparison of the rich man who arrives at the gates of heaven to be met by St. Peter, as the Catholics would say, St. Peter. And he wants to bring his possessions in. You know, I spent my entire life building this stuff up. Of course I want to bring it in. And St. Peter tries to dissuade him of it. And the man says, no. He said, "Well, hey, listen, why don't you do this? Why don't you step into heaven for a second and then make a decision?" So St. Peter opens the pearly gates and the man steps into heaven and he turns around and everything he'd brought with him is trash, utter trash. Peter says, "You want to leave it there?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll just leave it there." And Peter says, "I hear that a lot, every time." And so it will be with this debate and all the other human debates. So it will be. So why not do it now? Why wait? Why wait to the kingdom of heaven to regard this debate last night for what it was? Some people talking. Some people, one of whom is going to be allowed to be either a leader of this nation or a figurehead leader. In either case, God will allow it. The same God who has set up heaven and earth, the same God who always existed, always will exist, the same God who will provide that eternal home for us, where this conversation between two people won't matter a bit at all. What matters, of course, is a vote for souls, to make sure that we bring enough people across the finish line, not enough, but as many as we can, get out of God's way and let him do through us. That many. So it was a talk between two people. And there were some good moments and entertaining moments and very frustrating moments. And I'm known as a political commentator, so I should probably get to that. But why wait? We can't bring the new heaven and the new earth to us. We can get there through the free gift of redemption, but we can bring an attitude. And that attitude might be this. It might be, cool debate, bro. Guess I've decided how I'm going to vote. For those who haven't, maybe this debate settled that for you. Good. Well, that's settled. How's your faith walk? How's your ministry at home? How's the faith walk of your kids? How's it going? Are you going to church or are you the church? Cool debate, bro. I've decided how I'm going to vote. How many of your friends know Jesus? I mean, not aware of him. Everybody's aware of him, but know him. And for people who are Christian, are you sure that that's not been a label assigned to you by the enemy? The enemy would tell you you're Christian even if you are just going and attending church 1.3 times per month. The enemy will say, well, look at you. You're a Christian. Well, that's not what Jesus said we're to do. That's not how Jesus told us to follow him. He said to pick up your cross daily. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who lose it will find it. Mangled the phrase. So why wait? Why wait to put the debate into proper perspective? Two people talking about some stuff. Well, really three, four, given the fact that the moderators aren't moderators, they're participants. They're looking to rig another election by helping Kamala Harris. And guess what? It's aggravating. And you know what else? In eternity, we'll forget it. I wonder what day of eternity that will happen. See, I really think it's like that guy who comes to the gates of heaven and has his world, his lifelong possessions, his gold and his silver and his money, his cars, all in this huge trailer behind them. I really think our thought, our focus, our passion, our obsession with politics, I actually believe when we walk in through the gates of heaven or however that happens, the new earth comes for us, we're risen up into the sky, the rapture. I really think when we see the face of the Lord Jesus, actually see him descending, I think at that moment, I'm guessing, everything else is going to wash away as if it never mattered, because in eternal senses, two people talking with two people trying to help one of the others, the moderators helping Kamala Harris, doesn't matter. Did you make your decision to vote? Praise God. For the right person? Hope so. So yeah, we'll dig into the debate. We'll even get into some sound bites from the debate. We'll even do some political analysis. But I feel like God called me in the monologue portion of the program to simply say, let's right-size all this and imagine it from an eternal point of view. And there are things to call out. ABC News should be utterly, permanently embarrassed, to be election participants and attempted election riggers. And no Republican should ever again, I've been saying this for a decade, ever again subject themselves to that. The era of pretend journalists must be over in debates. Republicans must insist. In future debates, we'll have one expressly liberal person asking questions and one expressly conservative person asking questions. And for the libertarians in the audience, I'm sorry. Win more seats, get more presence. Convince more people, get more presence. To do otherwise is to allow people to hide under the mantle of fake conservatism, or probably under the mantle of fake journalist, to be able to live fact check one candidate, not the other. It was aggravating to watch. Maybe you had the same experience. It aggravated me. But then again, I'm keeping this in an eternal perspective. I do think of God watching this. But he wasn't. Because he already created it. He already knew what would happen. I think of his heart as we watched it. I remember my daughter being deeply, deeply concerned about where our Christmas tree went. She was four. I used to feel the same way. You had all this love for your Christmas tree, and we celebrated the birth of Jesus, and we did our readings from the Bible, and we had our the travel of the baby Jesus towards where he would be born. You've done the same things. I remember when the Christmas tree went away when she was four. I finally took it out of the house. I remember her being very concerned for a very long while about where the Christmas tree had gone. I tried to explain to her, well, I took it to a landfill. It will be used to make things, and it'll be chopped up and be used to maybe make firewood or useful things. But who has it? Well, honey, I took it to the landfill. I want to go see it. I want to make sure the Christmas tree's okay. But honey, it's a tree and the tree has died. And wait, the tree's dead? Wait, you didn't tell me the tree is dead. Why didn't you tell me, Dad, the tree is dead? We could have saved the tree. I never want a dead tree again. Let's plant our Christmas trees. But honey, the birth of the Lord Jesus. I know, happy birthday, Jesus, but I want our tree back. And I'm wondering if God is watching us as we watch and hand-wring over the debate, saying, guys, it's a blip within a blip. All the emotion you have attached to this. And I'm right here. I'm right here with all the answers. Don't go chase your Christmas tree into the landfill. The world's not dead, but it's dying. And the new heaven and the new earth lives forever. And it's being birthed. In whatever way God does this, it's being birthed, it's being ready for us. There's going to be no politics. There's going to be no parties. There's going to be no debates because God himself is truth. How do you debate in the presence of truth? How do you debate in a world where all of us don't just know the truth, we walk with truth. We don't just know love or experience love, we stand next to it in the very presence of love. The debate is important the same way your first meal on your first day of kindergarten was meal. Your last, the meal you ate before you went to kindergarten was important. That day, I bet that was really important. It's my first day of kindergarten. I need my favorite food. I need to have a good day. And I mean, even the shoes you chose were important. Not those, Mom. Other kids wear these. A blip within a blip within a blip. But nonetheless, we'll come back and analyze it. Debate soundbites next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We just spent the last segment cautioning ourselves to view the debate in light of eternity. In light of spending eternity with the Lord Jesus, that debate last night was some people talking about some stuff, a blip within a blip within a blip, no more significant than the shoes you wore on your first day of kindergarten. I guarantee on your first day of kindergarten, your shoes were very important to you. I bet now you can't ever remember if you wore shoes. Let's keep that in mind. Donald Trump called Kamala Harris for who she is, a Marxist who hates America.
I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy. But if she ever got elected, she'd change it. And it will be the end of our country. She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well. But when you look at what she's done to our country, and when you look at these millions and millions of people that are pouring into our country monthly, where it's, I believe, 21 million people, not the 15 that people say, and I think it's a lot higher than the 21, that's bigger than New York State pouring in. And just look at what they're doing to our country. They're criminals. Many of these people coming in are criminals. And that's bad for our economy, too. You know, you mentioned before, we'll talk about immigration later. Well, bad immigration is the worst thing that can happen to our economy. They have, and she has, destroyed our country with policy that's insane. Almost policy that you'd say they have to hate our country.
I think that's a great explanation of who Kamala Harris is. And as President Trump actually spoke the line, I was thinking about getting her a MAGA hat. It's actually kind of entertaining because Kamala Harris, she laughed, and not in a snarky way. She spent most of the night with a very well-rehearsed, pandering, judgmental, condescending look. Oh, look at this man. There's nothing he says makes sense. Very well-practiced. The people who programmed the Kamala bots did a very good job in programming. And in that moment, though, she actually smiled. She was actually charmed. Kind of interesting that that can happen. They did a great job of programming the Kamala bot. She hooked President Trump, and he bit hard. The topic of immigration was one that President Trump should have wanted to spend a lot of time on because the open borders policies are indefensible. They're a purposeful takedown of our country for electoral votes and to destabilize our cities. They're indefensible. And Kamala Harris was programmed well. She said about President Trump's rallies, if you watch, people leave early because they're boring. Instead of just saying, at least people come to my rallies, and then going on to the topic of immigration, President Trump bit hard. He burned up a lot of oxygen defending his rallies. If there's another debate, I pray that people will coach him on that and that he'll accept the coaching. Now, of course, President Trump, and we knew this, and no Republican should ever agree to this setup again. I've been saying it for a decade. Many people have. We knew that the moderators wouldn't be moderators. This is the first instance of ABC debating Trump for Kamala Harris, in this case, on the murder of babies after their birth.
Give tremendous credit to those six justices.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies, and that's not actually a surprising fact. Let's understand how we got here.
And she went on to say, we got here because President Trump hand-selected these judicial nominees, these Supreme Court justices. John Solomon, writing at justthenews.com, John is a great, old-fashioned, real reporter, points out there are, in fact, six states where abortion is legal up to the ninth month. There are states where it is legal to allow a baby to die having survived an abortion, to let a little baby die of cold, exposure to cold, a cold metal table, or for lack of nourishment. That's a fact. And ABC's election riggers either can't help themselves or don't want to help themselves or want deeply to help Kamala Harris. I think it's a combination of all three. The next time there is a Republican presidential debate, it needs to be one liberal, one conservative, expressly so, asking questions. No more pretending that these are journalists. Never again expose a candidate to this. It used to work. It used to be a way to drive out, to increase turnout among Republicans. Can I inform everybody of something? The media doesn't care about being believed by conservatives. They've made that decision. They care about being worshipped by liberals. They've made that decision. And there's this. These events of theater only matter electorally to moderates. They are the only people who matter during these debate nights. And when the so-called moderators say, well, there's no state where that's allowed. A, President Trump didn't say it was allowed. B, it's election rigging. Just as much as other forms of election rigging. It's not stealing, it's rigging. ABC wouldn't even let President Trump talk about his own assassination attempt.
I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy
President
with a fake
Trump.
Russia investigation that went nowhere.
We have a lot to get to. Lindsay?
Well, that's a very interesting line of questioning. We have a lot to get to. It would have been great TV to turn to Kamala Harris and say, we had the baseball game shooting. Steve Scalise was almost murdered. That was a Bernie Sanders supporter. We had President Trump shot. In what ways do you think your side uses too much harsh rhetoric? Or if you like, do you think your side uses harsh rhetoric? Do you think your side's responsible for this at all? But they didn't do that. They were busy doing other things. David Muir jumped in again, supposedly correcting President Trump on the story about Haitian migrants eating animals.
She's destroying this country, and if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids.
I just want to clarify here, you bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is
the people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
but
television.
But the people on television saying
manager.
Their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
Again, the Springfield city manager says there's no evidence of that. Vice
we'll
President Harris,
out.
I'll let you respond to the rest of what you've heard.
You talk about extreme.
The city manager says. The city manager says so. The city manager, whose city has been overrun by 20,000 Haitian immigrants who are being given jobs secreted away from Springfield residents. Government agencies and organizations paid by the government to recruit people are saving companies recruiting costs by secretly, through networks, telling Haitian immigrants about these jobs. Haitian immigrants who can work for 40% less since they've been handed money taken from you by force. And we have the witness statements. But the city manager says, we have people testifying in front of the city councils. I have played the audio here. I played the video on my podcast. They are testifying to this happening to their city councils of people eating pets. They are testifying. In fact, there is footage and there are photos of Haitian immigrants taking geese from the public parks, killing them and eating them. There's testimony of a man who's a YouTube a video maker. You can't call, well, I guess if you are the Southern Poverty Law Center, you can pretend he's racist. He's a black man who is going to the city council to testify about Haitian immigrants who don't know how to drive, but have somehow been given cars. Well, a lot can happen when you are handed all sorts of money to overturn an electoral college vote, to destabilize a country, and to drive down hiring costs for utterly corrupt companies. Because any company who does this is utterly corrupt. to secret away jobs from Americans. And these people don't know how to drive. Don't blame them. They come from a horrible place that's deeply fallen and evil. Haiti. We got to pray for the people of Haiti. But when they get these cars, they're driving into buildings and dumpsters. They're turning their cars over in the middle of the street. This is from a Springfield resident testifying to his city council. But David Muir's heard from the city manager. That's just not happening with the Pats. If there is one big dividing line in America, well, there's not. There's many, many dividing lines. The most important being those who recognize the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior and choose to be saved by him and rescued by him and changed by him, and those who won't. That's the most important dividing line. But there's another. People like David Muir who think an answer to something is, well, the city manager says. Tony Fauci said the shots were safe and effective. We could go on. ABC News said there's not a single sign that President Trump has got any form of mental deficiency. The Hunter Biden laptop story, that's obviously Russian propaganda. After all, the city manager says. In that case, the intelligence services say. Worship of human authority. If there was one goal Kamala Harris likely had, it was to have another I'm speaking moment. Unfortunately, President Trump beat her to the punch.
She was big on defund the police. In Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute. I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar? She went out in Minnesota and wanted to let criminals that killed people, that burned down Minneapolis, she went out and raised money to get them out of jail.
She did do that, though she said it was a lie. And again, ABC News, you could have just stepped in and said, actually, Madam Vice President, you did put out a tweet towards a Minnesota bail fund trying to raise money for those groups to bail out people like that. They could have, but they didn't because they're election riggers. I wonder how it feels to have wanted to have been a journalist, to have been a journalist, and then decide to pretend to be a journalist. Maybe they don't know. After all, the Lord Jesus said to the people who were hanging him on a tree, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Maybe they don't know that they're rigging elections. Maybe they don't know how utterly, utterly, shamefully obvious their bias is. Maybe they don't. They could learn. They could come and visit America for a while. They could leave New York. They could come and hang out with us in, say, North Idaho and understand that we don't trust a single word you say. In fact, if ABC News says something is true, I assume it's not, particularly in the way of politics. Here's a great example why. Kamala Harris again repeated the commonly debunked very fine people hoax with no corrections from the ABC so-called moderators.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
And of course, and you could do this very easily. I did this on the podcast this morning. You can go back to the video where President Trump said there's fine people on the sides, on each side of the debate about tearing down national monuments and statues. Later, he said there are fine people, not the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. They can be should be condemned in every way. I'm not talking about the Nazis. With the exception of the Nazis and white supremacists, there are very fine people on each side of the debate about tearing down these statues. He couldn't have been more clear. And again, even Snopes has had to admit this. Even CNN finally admitted it. Not the moderators. Do you believe there's a chance they don't know the truth on that? ABC News should never be considered for a debate again, ever. This should be a banned network from Republican presidential candidates forever. They've earned it. So again, with no fact check from the so-called moderators, Kamala Harris repeated the bloodbath hoax.
On that point, Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
No, that's not what he said. He spoke specifically about the automotive industry, specifically about China and Mexico, specifically about an economic bloodbath. It is Joe Biden who's many, many times talked bloodbath. It was a bloodbath of an election. It's a phrase used in politics. And once again, the people at ABC News knew this. When a leader listens to fools, his entire organization will be corrupt. Really, really paraphrasing the Bible poorly there. ABC News has become corrupt all through it. Man, it matters, doesn't it? See, even I got caught up in it. I just did a monologue about how let's look at this from an eternal perspective. In an eternal perspective, that debate mattered exactly as much as the shirt or dress you wore on your first day of kindergarten. Because I bet at that time it was vitally important. It isn't now, is it? In an eternal sense, this won't be either. We probably won't even remember it. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just to review the program, people tune in all the time, and thank you for that. We're looking at the debate and reminding ourselves that in an eternal sense, in an eternal sense, with the Lord Jesus forever in eternity, this does not matter. It's important now. I hope that you have your decision made and for whom you're going to vote. We're to be good citizens. We love this country, most of us. I believe that we are to vote. I think Christians are to be involved. I understand Christians who say, I'm not going to. My view is, how do you maintain good citizenship without voting? But it doesn't matter. From an eternal sense, let's right-size it. We will not remember this in eternity. Let's act accordingly. It's important, but it's not the most important thing. It's not in the top three. Oh, it's not. Your ministry at home with your family, top, top, top. Your soul, top. The souls of people you encounter, top. This election, well below those. Let's keep it right-sized. But we are analyzing it. A couple more clips and then some cultural stuff. We'll get to the Tower Babbling. Then a beautiful moment as a mother's confronted with the confusion that Satan's rained down in this world and how she explains it to her little boy. It's so beautiful. ABC's David Muir tried to pressure Donald Trump into taking a side in the Russia-Ukraine war.
You said you would solve this war in 24 hours. You said so just before the break tonight. How exactly would you do that? And I want to ask you a very simple question tonight. Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I want the war to stop. I want to save lives that are being uselessly, people being killed by the millions. It's the millions. It's so much worse than the numbers that you're getting, which are fake numbers. Look, we're in for $250 billion or more because they don't ask Europe, which is a much bigger beneficiary to getting this thing done than we are. They're in for $150 billion less because Biden and you don't have the courage to ask Europe like I did with NATO. They paid billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars when I said, either you pay up or we're not going to protect you anymore. So that's maybe one of the reasons they don't like me as much as they like weak people. But you take a look at what's happening. We're in for $250 to $275 billion. They're into $100 to $150. They should be forced to equalize.
That's the way he's going to do it. If he is able to make it back into the White House, is pressure Europe to do it. He's right. They live right next door. he's right about a lot with regard to this war. It didn't happen under him because Putin doesn't know what Trump will do. This is one of the great advantages of President Trump in office on a foreign policy basis. No one knows what the man's going to do. Everybody knows what an establishment, shiny-shoed Republican or Democrat's going to do. Everyone knows. They will do whatever benefits the military, industrial, pharmaceutical complex. Full stop. Period. Very predictable. Crazy thing, I once played poker against a bunch of Microsoft engineers. I worked at Microsoft back in the day. What a blessing. What a fascinating thing. What a great bit of money that God provided our family. And I accidentally got invited to a charity event and went and realized, I got there, oh my gosh, these are all the engineers. And my friend Joe came over and said, hey, we are thrilled to have you here. This is a bunch of engineers. I don't even know if you know these guys. I said, hey, you know what? If you let me play, I'll play. It was a fundraiser, like I said. So I played and wow, I made it to the final table. At the time, I was really into the game Texas Hold'em, studied it, read the books, really enjoyed it. And I knew that I couldn't compete with these guys on the level of math. They're Microsoft engineers. So I put them on emotional tilt, doing things that were wrong mathematically, bluffing where I shouldn't have bluffed, and then showing my cards, and they're looking at me saying, this guy has no mathematical ability. How do you even make it to the final table? And then bit by bit by bit, playing very tight, only betting when I knew I had the best shot. Even on my elementary math skills, it worked. I was unpredictable. One of the guys at the final table, we were down to three people. I pulled a check raise thing with this guy. If you know poker at all, you understand what I'm saying. And he got up and said, you don't make any sense. Nothing you do makes any sense at the poker table. I can't track you. It was a charity game. I said, that's kind of the point because I can't do math like you can. Well, when they figured that out, they took care of me. But that was one of the great, great, great reasons that President Trump was so good on foreign policy. One more clip from the debate. Speaking of foreign policy, here Kamala Harris admitted she fully supported Joe Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal.
Well, I will tell you, I agreed with President Biden's decision to pull out of Afghanistan. Four presidents said they would, and Joe Biden did.
Well, they did. They did that. They took them, and they took an airport that was secure. We had two exit points, two extraction points. They whittled it down to one. They whittled it down to one. And it was the worst one, a commercial airport. And they got 13 Americans murdered. The debate moderators did not step into that to say something like this. You were warned. You knew there was a suicide bomber coming. Why didn't you do anything? That's the debate. It matters to the 13 families. It matters to them. It matters in the election, but it doesn't matter in an eternal sense. And pray to God those young people are with the Lord Jesus who gave their lives for this country. On this program, we do something that can seem odd. We thank the Lord for placing these supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Such a bizarre time living in this fallen world, isn't it? Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Almost always three sound bites. Many black people, like this young woman, are on to the empty bag of lies and hubris that is Kamala Harris.
You better thank a union member for your sick time. You better thank a union member for your pay days off. Because on my days off, I'm about to cook me a mean pot of greens. And I'm going to wash them in the bathtub where all that and is at. Because that's what us black folk do.
What's so good? So good to see a young black woman standing up for being a young black woman. Not all young black people washed their collard greens in bathtubs. Kamala Harris says she did in Berkeley, California, with two PhD parents. Okay. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Sadly, figurehead Biden's dementia is continuing to get worse.
That bill I got passed and said that Biden couldn't do it, guess what? $1,300,000,000,000 over 10 years. And we reduced the budget at the same time.
Oh, wow. How do you spend $1,300,000,000,000 over 10 years and reduce the budget at the same time? Oh, you don't. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Figurehead Biden's dementia is getting worse and Jimmy Kimmel's jokes are continuing to worsen.
And we're in the bathroom and I'm washing my hands. He's washing his.
He washes his hands?
The cleanest, the cleanest they'd ever been. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, man, we've never met. I'm Ted. And he puts his fist out. And I was like, hey, Ted. And I gave him like a fist bump back. And he's
in the bathroom. Is Ted Cruz like, is he eating the urinal cakes or what's he up to?
Just really funny stuff that about Ted Cruz because he eats urinal cakes. That's, man, that's some good writing. Oh, wait, it's not, is it? And that there, that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That was the Tower of Babbling. On a Disciple's View.
Social media is a poison for kids. It can be a poison for society. Sometimes it's very, very useful, even for moments of inspiration. Little boy, I'm going to guess, probably 4 or 5 years old, with his mother, and this patient and loving mother explains to this young boy why a man was dressed like a woman.
There are people in this world who are lost, okay? They don't know the Lord, okay? They're just lost souls, okay? We got to pray for them. So there will be guys acting like girls or wanting to be girls, and there will be girls acting like guys and wanting to be guys. They're not happy with the gender they are, and a gender means male or female. You're a male, right? And I'm a female. But we don't do that.
It's really well done. And it reminds me of something. We often wrap up this program with a personal observation from myself. And we'll do that today on the topic of gender confusion. There was a time when our daughter, you know this, was in the adolescent teen mental health care system. Something horrible happened to her. It really disrupted who she was. The Lord has rescued her. Praise God. Please thank God for me, on my behalf, for rescuing my daughter. Will you please do that? Praise you, God. Thank you. So we would make regular visits to a mental health center, a residential facility, a lockup facility. They are lockup facilities. I have a lot to say about those places because there's a power imbalance, and one day maybe I'll do a topic on that. But this topic was something else. It was visiting with a family whose daughter had taken a male persona and was absolutely obsessed with getting hormones and surgery, absolutely obsessed. And was angry anytime someone would use the male name. And in this particular treatment facility, they refused to do that. It's in a state where they can refuse to do that. Although the Mormon Church, sadly, is pressuring Utah to change that. The LDS Church. If you're LDS and listening to this, please, please, please talk to the bishops. Please, please, please talk to the 12. Please don't let them do that. Please. So in this case, at this treatment center, this young girl wanted to be called a boy, boy's name. My daughter came and said, was trying to find her, really, really, really wanted me to meet her. My daughter really loved this girl, wanted me to meet her. So I came downstairs and was trying to help find her using her female name. And I was in the kitchen and there was a young girl there. She was working. She was on not on staff, but it was her job to work in the kitchen that day. And I came down and said, hey, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. I see you're cooking. Have you seen Jennifer O? And she said, oh, do you mean Bill? I said, I think we're using a different name for the same person. Bill is out there. He's at the swimming pool. That's where you'll find him. Thank you. And I went out. But on my way out, I just about stepped on a young girl. She was wearing gray sweats, gray sweatshirt, laying on gray concrete, drawing a gray picture. This was a young girl who pretended to be non-binary. And I just about stepped on her. And I stopped and said, "Sweetie, I just about stepped on you. You're blending into the concrete." She said, "That's the point. You're wanting to blend in. I'm wanting to disappear. You're doing a good job. May I ask what you're drawing?" She showed it to me. It was remarkable. It was a picture of home, the home she wanted and didn't have. And she told me about it, what it would mean to her. In the photo, there was a mom and a dad. They were not non-binary. I sat down next to her on the concrete. I love kids. My mom had a master's degree in early childhood ed. My dad was a social worker. I grew up loving kids. And I regarded the drawing. We spoke about it. And who came over but Bill? And she, Jennifer. And she walked over and said, "Is he bugging you?" Being all male and protective. And this young girl looked up and said, "No, he likes my art." And you know what the young girl who pretended to be non-binary said? Her picture in the drawing. I said, "Is this you?" She said, "Yeah, one day I want to be beautiful." And you know what Bill said? "You already are." You know what the non-binary girl said, the fake non-binary? Looked up at Jennifer and said, "You are too." And skirting on being very careful, I looked at her and said, "As a dad, I can tell you, I think you're a very lovely young lady." When I went back in, you know what the girl at the kitchen said? As I walked by, she said, "Sir, yep, I see you found Jennifer." Kindness. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.